Welcome to Rich Black Woman, where we empower women to be rich in mind, body, and bank. I'm your host, Yaz, creator and founder of Rich Black Woman, and I am excited to bring you inspiring guests from around the world who will enrich your life from the inside out. And every week, we talk with changemakers who will nourish your soul, your intellect, and enrich your bottom line. Ladies, it's time to bring the bank. Well, rich black women, we are in perhaps one of the deepest times in modern history, and it is really putting a highlight on getting our houses in order this pandemic. And this pandemic is going to impact each and every one of us around the world, and it has us thinking a lot and reflecting a lot on our well-being and our financial state, and how do we emerge from this better than before. And so it is my pleasure to bring on our next guest, Erica Young. She is the president and founder of TaylorMade Budgets, which she opened in 2005 after she and her husband climbed their way out of nearly $100,000 in debt. She then became a certified financial planner with Dave Ramsey's Lampo Group. And she combines her passion for helping people with creative debt reduction strategy techniques so that everyone can have a path towards financial freedom. And how important that is right now when you're going through something as dire as we are right now. And so Erica has such an awesome and amazing passion to help people. She's also an author and was the author of the best-selling book, Naked and Unashamed, 10 Money Conversations Every Couple Should Have. It is my pleasure to welcome you, Erica, to the Rich Black Woman podcast. I am super excited about talking with you and getting your perspective and knowledge on how we can thrive as a community during this time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be back. And this is such an important topic that we really have to speak into it pretty bluntly and pretty quickly. So I'm really glad that you were open to have this conversation so that we can actually make a difference in people's lives right away.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that pops up immediately for everybody, I was just looking at a stat, pretty staggering. It said that 22 million Americans have now been impacted by a loss of job or reduced wages. I know I've heard of folks having to take furloughs. So, you know, most of us, we know 40% of all Americans don't have more than $400 in terms of savings. And this is a pregnant pause. It's like everything's on blast. The spotlight is on us. Not only are we trying to just make it and survive just physically and our well-being, right? Like when we're going to the grocery store, we are just making sure that we're protecting ourselves and protecting others. But how do we protect ourselves financially, Erica?
That's a really good question. I think it's important that we get back to the basics, honestly. And so some of the things that I'm saying are really important for people to pay attention to are your basic necessities. And so people are really concerned about creating a budget and figuring out what they need to pay. And I just start with the four walls. And these are the four things that keep you being able to wake up in the morning and get about your day. It is shelter, utilities, food, and transportation. So you need to look at those four areas, and not in that order, obviously. You need to make certain there's food on the table, then have shelter, utilities, and last, transportation. In this season. And there's lots of help out there for those who have lost income entirely. And even for those who have lost their jobs and have applied for unemployment, it is becoming increasingly difficult to figure out when they're going to get any funds. I have yet to see people in my community here in Indianapolis to get their checks yet for unemployment. And that really concerns me because we've been quarantined now for 5 weeks. So I think we have to get back to the basics. The good news right here in this moment is when you do that calculation, when you add up your basic necessities and you see what that total number is, the easiest thing to do is figure out, okay, what are my income sources? Do I have income sources? When are they coming? And that kind of thing. And then how can I mitigate the loss of that income? And the bright spot, if you will, you know, if we can look at one right now, is that there's a lot of help out there. So, and by that, I mean, not just the governmental help in terms of the stimulus package, and that's something I'm sure we'll get to talking about, but your mortgage company is probably offering a forbearance. So if you have a mortgage, a forbearance is something where they're giving you 3 or 6 months of putting those monthly payments, tacking it on to the end of your loan. So if you have a 30-year mortgage, that could become 30 years plus 3 months or plus 6 months. It is not rolled back into the mortgage. I prefer that you don't take that option, although I think they are offering it. And it is not a refinance. It is simply adding the payments on. And so it's basically a period of time where you don't have to pay. And so for those who've completely lost income, that's a good strategy to look into. For those who are renting, something to look at is, can we restructure this? If your rent is $1,000 a month and you are going on a furlough for 3 months where you're not getting paid, then it's important to talk to your landlord about, can we add this, you know, to my lease, which means for the remaining, you know, 10 months, let's say, of your lease, you have that, you know, that particular rent payment added on. So what that means is it's divided by those 10 months. And so it might go up by $100 or $200, depending on how many months you aren't paying. In the leasing situation, they have to do it that way. It is, you know, for them, honestly impossible for them to forgive you of that amount of money. So you don't want to get into a crazy position where you're, you can't afford to pay back what you've agreed to. So you want to make certain that that is something that you can afford when that time comes. But there are options for this season. And I start with those big ones because those are pretty much the largest percentages of your budget, your basic necessities. So if you can figure that out, that's awesome. I'm also finding that the forbearance could be available for, you know, transportation. So for your car loan, they're also tacking on 3 months to the end if you call. The biggest thing right now is call and find out what is available to you. I called a water company yesterday and I said, I haven't gotten a bill. Typically, this is an annual fee of $120. Where's the bill? I just want to know what's going on. And they said, well, we're not sending them till May, first of all, and it's probably not going to be due until September. And I said, really? Okay, okay, awesome. And yeah. I wouldn't have known. I could have stressed about that or said, well, where's the bill? Did we lose it? Blah, blah, blah. But I called and found out that I didn't have to stress. And so being your own best advocate and calling your utilities and seeing if they can delay until you get your dollars in is important, because the biggest two things that you have to protect right now are your food and your health. And so if you can make certain that those things get handled.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I hadn't heard anyone really talk about the leasing negotiation and working that in a different way. So I love that, Erica, because it's really challenging us to think about things a little bit differently in how we approach our creditors. And just making the ask and communicating, that's really helpful. I think for us to ask, we're in a season of grace, so ask for that grace and take advantage of it while you can to really protect your cash flow.
Grace is the word I've been using now for the last 2 to 3 weeks because right when everybody was getting a little stir crazy in the middle of, you know, thinking we were only going to be here till, you know, the mid-April timeframe or end of April at this point, and we were getting stir crazy, someone mentioned how people were being rude at the store, or when you make a phone call, they're snippy. And honestly, everybody's stressed. I mean, the honest to God truth, even if you are not in a health crisis right now, you're not directly affected by the virus itself. You're concerned that somebody else is, or you're keeping up with people who are, or you're trying to figure out your fine. I mean, there's a lot going on. And yeah. Grace is what's going to help us look at one another and say, I'm here for you. I get it. I know it's stressful. Because honestly, there's going to be a time when you need grace.
Amen. I love that. Yes. And also being understanding, to your point, having some emotional awareness of like everybody's going through something. So, you know, not reacting to and being offended. I think that's a really good word just in all of this. And to try again. If you get a rude person on the phone, hang up, call and get another attendant, you know, so change that, take control over that. So, okay. So you talked about some of the basic steps that we should do right now in terms of, you know, mortgage, car, utilities. That's really solid. Those are things that people can act on pretty immediately. What are some other things? I know, you know, sometimes we forget like some of the auto pay things that we do more for like luxury and things like that. Should people be reviewing those types of items as well?
Absolutely. So you can't assume they're turning it off. You really can't. So you know, usually these companies are communicating with you. So for instance, my husband goes to a gym and they said to him, we won't be charging you until you are able to come back into the gym. And they have not charged us the $30. So that's awesome. But you do need to be proactive. For instance, the CARES Act has stated that the federal government will not charge you interest on your student loans, and you do not have to make payments until after September 30th. That's great news for people who have federal student loans. However, if you have it on auto pay, I would not assume that they are going to do a good job of taking everybody off of auto pay. They may not be charging you interest because that might be something internal that they can do for everyone, but do not assume that they're going to take everything off of auto pay. So be careful. Give them a phone call and say, take this off of auto pay. Put a note on your phone, on your calendar, a week before September 30th or whenever your next due date will be clear about when that is, and make certain that you put it back on if auto pay is your preference. And so that, in addition to any subscriptions you have, I had a couple review. I mean, they had the most subscriptions that I've seen because they have little kids and all these $10 or $20 subscriptions that added up to over $100. Wow. And they went through all of them, cut them down in half. But it takes a little bit of time to make that happen. And so saving $50 a month is completely worth it. And you have to be proactive about that stuff for sure.
Yeah. Good point. I love that. I guess pruning the different little luxuries that we maybe had and took for granted because we're like, oh, we've got cash flow, money coming in. I know that's something I try to do just kind of regularly is review my bank statements. And my husband hates it because I'll be like, hey, what's this $4.99 charge that we keep getting every month? Like, if I don't know what it is. And it's really just truly because there's a sense of like, hey, it's our money and we should know where it's going and we should be scrutinizing these things just like a business, right? Like all these businesses that have been laying people off, They've had to have their financial teams scrutinize, okay, where do we need to make cuts? Where do we need to cut back? We have to do that too in our own households. We have our own households are much like corporations and companies, and we're the CEO of that.
So there's totally a lot of places for people to look. First of all, if you're stuck at home, your gas for your vehicle is lower. And honestly, when you go get gas, I saw it $1.40 the other day, which is insane. Child care might be reduced. Your personal care, hair, nails, all of those things. You can't do that anymore right now. Just physically, they are closed. So that comes off of your budget. Dining out. You know, in the beginning of this quarantine season, I said, oh, well, once a week, let's just, you know, get takeout. And the last time we did it, I overate and felt horrible. And I said, I'd rather, you know, donate $50 somewhere than to feel like that again. So, but I mean, dining out is probably reduced for most folks. I think the thing to be really careful of is how much we're spending on Amazon and ordering things in. I had one family who right in the beginning spent a couple $100 on things for their kids to be entertained with and realized after 2 weeks that they wish they hadn't gotten some of that stuff, and they wish they had gotten something else. And so I think in our panic, we can also make purchasing choices that are not to our best benefit. So we do have to be careful of that.
Yeah, that's good advice. You know, not making those emotional purchases, but sitting on it is one of the things that I've really learned to do. Like, don't make those impulse purchases. You know, even when you're at home in a pandemic, bored, you know, think about it, sleep on it, and really assess if you need it or not.
Yeah.
So I was going to just ask, you know, how do we get our house in order moving forward? Like, some people have lost jobs that perhaps they may not be coming back. You know, artificial intelligence is taking over in more ways. I think some companies are going to realize, oh, we maybe didn't need that position, or we want to stay lean because we just don't know how quickly the economy is going to come back. What advice do you have for how people can pivot financially in this pandemic, as it relates to, you know, planning for employment or maybe even kind of shifting what they do?
That's a really good question. I think that, you know, we have to start looking at what we really want. I think that right now is a really good time to assess, honestly, just be honest with yourself. Do you really like your job? Is this going in the direction you want to go in? If you've lost your job, what would make you really happy doing? I just heard it said a couple of days ago that this is the great reflection. We have so much more time to think, ponder, read, you know, get on podcasts and educate ourselves. Are we doing it? I don't know. I mean, we do have more time to do it. We're not socializing near as much. And so you have the time to really do some self-exploration. I think it's important for you. And honestly, I think it's to your best benefit to figure out what's best for you. Where are you excited and interested? And we're also seeing people be really innovative and creative right now. This is the craziest thing, but people are sharing their farms on Zoom calls. So for instance, you can rent a llama for $100 on a Zoom call. People are making money doing this because everybody's on the Zoom call. Yes. So the llama is simply a participant and just sits there and it makes people smile. Yes. And so, you know, making people smile. I actually found a gentleman. He's an insurance agent, which goes right in alignment with the work that I do, but I did not know that he does magic tricks. He is offering Zoom magic calls for families.
And
I actually think I'm going to hire him because my family's getting together over Zoom for Mother's Day. And I think that would be so cool. So now's the time to really think outside the box on, what do you enjoy? What do you like? What can you do? For instance, like, there's a photographer who does newborn photos right after the birth. So she goes into hospitals, but she can't go into the hospitals now, right? So an idea for her is front door photography. People coming to their front door. How you can pivot right now and be creative and innovative is really something that I think people really need to think about, and start thinking about, you know, are there specific industries that might need the work that you do more than others? You know, so, I mean, obviously, if you're in IT, that's great. What if you don't like necessarily the company that you're at, just know that healthcare is around, like, healthcare is alive and well right now. And so lots of places are hiring. Workforce development, all over the United States where people are applying for unemployment, they need workers right now. I have a client who's applying for that job right now. Yeah. So just know that you have to think about where we are and what it is that you can bring to the table so that you thrive and also add value.
Yeah, that's so good. I love seeing the pandemic hustle and the creativity and the innovation. Who would have thought? And I can totally see how that would be fun for a family or a party. Even everybody chip in, you know, hey, we're going to have a special guest and do something silly and fun. So that's really inspiring, I think, for people to take a risk, maybe like never before. I don't think people are looking for perfection either in all of this because everything is so new. So just try it. It makes me think of a lot of people who started making masks and selling them, you know, for folks who knew how to sew or had a little bit of artistic flair, and they're providing a service for a need that we have right
Absolutely.
Now. Is there anything else in terms of the different elements of the CARES Act that maybe have been overlooked that you can speak to, perhaps for folks who were entrepreneurs? I know that they've got a couple of different, like the SBA loans, but there have been issues with those. And any other resources that you know of that might help those folks who are independent contractors and entrepreneurs?
There's good and bad news. The government did a good job of trying to help small business owners, but honestly, there's not enough money to go around. And so midstream into this program, and I don't even think it's midstream, it's just right now, 2 weeks into the program, I mean, there's not enough funds. And so in order for this program to fully be successful, they need to extend more credit to these people. So yes, there's tons of, I shouldn't say tons, there's several specific loans that the SBA is offering. One in particular, the Payroll Protection Act, is the only one that is potentially forgivable if you prove that 75% of it has been used to keep your employees paid, yourself included. And there are also other loans that, you know, people can get access to. The challenge is that mentioning it now is a trouble spot for me, because they don't even have enough funds right now to fund who they've already had apply. So that's the challenge there. I will say the other parts of this, though, is that there is unemployment has been expanded. And I do think that they're going to get to all of the people for unemployment. It's just going to take some time. So be patient with that process. If you are self-employed or a 1099 employee, you can apply for unemployment. They have added a potential $600 more per week onto what is normally up underneath $400 per week. And so a self-employed individual could potentially get up to $1,000 per week if they were on the higher end of the earning spectrum. And you know, it also has expanded 13 more weeks. So instead of just 26 weeks, it's now 39 weeks. So the benefits are there. However, the manpower is not. And so you just have to be patient. The problem, of course, with that is people need the money now and they're not quite getting it yet. So that requires some patience. The stimulus check has started to come this week, and so that's great if you had a direct deposit. The challenge that I'm finding is that some people didn't realize that if you haven't filed taxes for 2018 and 2019, they don't know what your income is, so they cannot calculate your stimulus check. People really need to be aware that you need to file one of those. You need to let the government know that the money is something that you need because your income falls within the range that makes you qualify. So I think a lot of people have to get that done if they haven't already. And the other part of this is, I just had a question. Someone had a baby in 2019, and how do we tell the government that I had a baby if you haven't filed taxes? Well, you've got to file taxes. So there is a link now where if you did not have a direct deposit that is accurate for your funds to come in, you can update that information on the irs.gov website. So that's awesome for people who either have changed banks and they have new direct deposit information, or they filed taxes in 2018 but did not have, or 2019 and did not have any information in there. So you can go to the irs.gov website and add that information in. So those are a few things that I think people need to know about right now that are going to help them in the short term.
Yeah, those are good tips. I'd heard a lot of that feedback as well. So is it that folks need to file both 2018 and 2019? We know that there was an extension for 2019. Or is it that they just need to make sure they've done 2018 at least?
They just need to do one. They need to have one done. Here's the catch. And I think this is important. If you owed for 2018, but you believe because you've done the calculations yourself or you went through the process without filing for 2019 and you're going to get a refund, do 2019. It might trigger that they'll say, oh, they haven't done 2018. So you're going to have to do that. But if you need the money right now, make certain that you want to do one or the other. You do not need both. But I highly encourage you to check for yourself to see what your burden is, because if you only owe $200, you might as well get it done. So just think about that, but you only need 1 year.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification, because I know there's been a lot of confusion on that. And sometimes people do get a little behind. What are you personally doing, Erica, to retrench and build during this time?
I'm saving money. So I'm thankful that my income overall hasn't technically changed. Since I'm a self-employed business owner, I have prepared for a bit of a slowdown. So that part is true. In terms of new business, that may be slow for a little bit. And I'm guessing that once we reopen a little bit, there will be people who are needing the help that I provide, and that will come in the summertime. But I'm just taking the money that would have been used for hair, getting my hair done or nails, gas money, dining out, all of those things, and socking it away. I'm just setting it aside. And I suggest people who their income hasn't fully been affected that you do the same. Put that stimulus money away if you don't need it today. Don't do anything crazy. Don't go buy anything new. Honestly, I'm even saying don't pay down debt. Just press pause on that. So if you were putting extra towards debt, it might be good to press pause on your debt reduction plan. If you were putting, say, $200 towards debt and the minimums are only $100, that $100, set that aside, because you just never know if you're going to need it. I'm really concerned that we don't know the full extent of this for a while. And so, like, the ramifications and industry specific changes may roll out over time. And so I'd rather have a little bit more in savings than not enough. The other thing, though, I will be honest with you, I think it's a great time to invest in the market. So for those who, because the market has been low, for those of you who can do a little bit more in your 401k, this might be a great time for that, especially if you're approaching retirement age soon. I think it's a good time to get more dollars into your retirement plans right now, if you can squeeze that right now.
That's good advice. Especially the debt part and the 401k, and understanding kind of how those things work. You're right. We need to have a little bit more liquidity and cash flow. And I feel like, you know, everybody's going to have some debt probably coming out of this that they didn't anticipate. So it's better to go ahead and anticipate it and have that kind of nest egg or that emergency fund, have it balloon a little bit more than what you normally would. And that's what I've been counseling, like, my family. You know, if you don't need to use your stimulus check, don't use it. Act like you never got it. Put it in an account, you know, somewhere else, not even connected to your primary, and just forget about it, because there will be an emergency in the future. And this is the wake-up call for everyone. So really great advice, Erica. I love this so much. And if anything, I feel like the ways that you said you personally are, you know, saving money, that's why people need to actually connect with a financial advisor. And mm-hmm. my hope is that through this conversation, through this pandemic, people will realize, you know what, let me prioritize making sure my financial house is in order. And maybe I can actually live through not getting my eyelashes done, not getting my hair done, and those kind of things for a season, so that I can learn from a financial advisor and help develop a plan moving forward.
One thing I'll say is I would love for people to really think about, what can I take with me out of this pandemic? Once the stay-at-home restrictions begin to lift, what are some things I want to continue to do in my life? How can I continue some of those things moving forward? One, for instance, might be, I want to keep a bigger emergency fund. So if you had no emergency fund, obviously now's the time to make certain that you actually have one. That would be a really great goal. Or if you had a couple of months, maybe it's in time for you to really get serious about having 3 to 6 months of expenses so that, you know, given the nature of this, a lot of people have been caught without enough cash on hand. So think about what principles do you need to take into, you know, us coming out of this. So maybe it's you don't stop getting your hair done, but maybe you don't do it as often, or you don't stop dining out altogether. But again, maybe it's the frequency of how often and where you're going, you know, so now it can really be something special, because when everybody gets a chance to sit down and have a meal, they're going to love that. But does it have to happen as often as it was pre-pandemic, right? So that's the thing is, what are some of the good, sound financial principles that you can begin to employ and continue throughout so that you can improve your situation? I do have a client that I'm working with him on stopping. He's already stopped his federal student loan payments so he can pay off his credit card debt during the next 5 months. And he's going to have that done in short order. And so, yeah. So the idea is that he doesn't have to return to credit card debt when he comes up out of, you know, the stay at home order. So, you know, it's one of the things. And he was a big spender on dining out as a single person. And so he really wants to take that out into when he returns, you know, or emerges, I should say, from quarantine, because you know, he's able to use those funds for something else that's going to benefit his financial life. And I think everybody should be reflective of what it is they can do that's going to help their finances move forward once this is all over.
Yeah, that's excellent. And on that note, I think we'll close it there, because this is a moment of personal, financial, spiritual reflection, professional reflection. And so we hope that this inspires our listeners to take that time and to do some introspection, to do some auditing, some examining of their financial life, what they must have, what is a want to have, and really look at the essentials. Just like we have essential businesses that are open right now, what really needs to be essentially opened in your own financial house, and what things can you do without during this time? And we hope that you will be better post-pandemic than you were pre-pandemic. So where can folks find you on social media?
On Instagram, it's TaylorMade Budgets. On Facebook, it's TaylorMade Budgets. And you can find me also on LinkedIn, Erica Young. You can also get access to a free seven-day money challenge that I have. It's a video series. You get one a day. It's only 3 or 4 minutes, but it's designed to help you move forward in your finances. And it will give you access to my free monthly newsletter as well.
Thank you, Erica. And you can find Rich Black Woman on Instagram at Rich Black Woman. Share this podcast with your Flossy Posse, your family, your coworkers, and anyone you want to live more richly. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and SoundCloud. And don't forget to leave a review. We appreciate your words of encouragement.